This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
A football Friday again, to be quite honest with you, right? I mean, it's Combine week. I am no longer at the Combine. I'm back in Buffalo. Had to have my own little mini Combine at the Chicago airport yesterday. I mean, for a lot of you, the reference you might not understand, or you might think of it a different way. I'm talking about the commercial for OJ here back in the day. I think it was Hertz. And he's running through the airport, jumping over things. Like, that was me at the Chicago airport yesterday. I did my own little mini combine. I'm like, I just came from the combine. These guys are running the 40. I had to run like 150. Here's what happened. I leave Indy. You can't get a direct from Indy to Buffalo, right? Like, you just can't do that. It's like, no. It's not one of the... Buffalo doesn't have a lot of places you can go direct. Main cities. Chicago, New York, you know, Boston, Philly. You can do that. So I leave Indy yesterday, leave the combine, fly into Chicago. I have about 45 minutes to get to my next flight. It's fine. Not a big deal. But the way the Chicago airport is laid out, O'Hare, you know, there's different terminals. So you go from one to the other, and I'm reading the... And I accidentally read the wrong part of my boarding pass and gate. I thought it said C1. It said C29. So when you come up the terminal C at O'Hare, it splits 1 through like 20 one way, 21 through 29 the other way. And literally one is at the one total end of the terminal and 29 is at the other end. It's not like they start, you know, you're in the middle. So I'm like, I got C1. I got plenty of time. So I start walking. I go all the way to C1 and they're boarding. I'm like, oh, okay, this is great. They're already boarding. And I look, it says Syracuse, New York. I said, I am not going to Syracuse. What happened here? I'm going to Buffalo. I look down at my boarding pass. I made a mistake. It was C29. I don't know where I got C1. Maybe we came in.
Was C1 your seat?
No, I think C1 might have been like we came in at B1 or something. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of screwed it up. I don't think they changed it. They might have. And it was just too late for me. Maybe that's what happened. So I'm thinking, oh, I just walked all the way here. Now I got to walk all the way back to 29, which I got to go back to where I came from and then some. Look, I mean, first world problems here, pal, right? I mean, like, it's okay. I'm at the Chicago airport. I come back from Indianapolis. But I'm like, I hate missing my boarding time, because if you're on a smaller plane and if you have a good boarding time and then you're later and they have to put your bag up and all that, I'm like, I got to get there for my boarding time. I had group two, which is nice. Group two, and I'm like, all right, got to get there. So I'm doing kind of like the OJ in the old Hertz commercial, running through the Chicago airport, O'Hare. I don't know if you know the commercial I'm talking about. You could look it up. OJ's jumping over tables and chairs and all of that. But I'm dragging my bag and got my big jacket. You know, coming from Indy, coming to Buffalo, I came off a cruise, but I had a big jacket because cold, right? So I couldn't put it in my suitcase. I have it with me. And I'm carrying it. And then at one point, sure enough, the bag kind of falls a little bit. Got to pick it up. I'm getting a little embarrassed. Had to run all the way over there. Sure enough, I get all the way to 29. And it was, I mean, I'm telling you, Josh, it was the moment they said, now boarding group two. I'm like, yes, this is beautiful. And I got in line. And a couple of people from group three kind of, or they said now boarding group two. And then by the time I got there, they said group three. So a couple of people were there either way. Got on the flight. It was really good. And then what happened is, you ever get in one of those situations on a flight where you're with somebody, but you're not in the same seat, the same row, or you're with your near people who aren't in the same row who should be? That's what happened to me. I get on. This woman sits next to me, and it's a three-seat row. I'm in the aisle. Woman sits next to me, and she says right away, yeah, I got split up with my husband who's up there. And I think she's telling me because she wants me to switch with her husband. And that's fine, but I'm thinking, I'm in 24. I already put my bag up top. If I go up there, that's a long time to wait for. At the end of the flight, A. B, if he's in the middle, I really don't want to sit in the middle. But I got to be nice here. And I'm like, I'm a nice guy, and I would want this woman to sit with her husband. I know what that's like with a wife and kid. That has happened many times. So I said to her, I said, where are you going to? She said, we're going to New York because our daughter is in a bowling tournament. Like, this is amazing. Right. And they don't even live in New York. And I'm like, wow, like, we bowl a lot in Buffalo. So I'm like, all right, I gotta let this woman, you know, with her husband. So the plane, everybody sits. And I said, hey, where's your husband? What row? She said, he's up there in row 11. It was actually 12, but she said 11. And I said, where's he sitting? She said, he's at the window. I'm like, just tell him I'll switch with him. You know, he can come back here. Okay. So he gets up. It was an easy switch. I went, I'm telling you, I got rewarded for a good deed. I'm going to pat myself. It was the only row where there was a middle seat that was open. She could have gone up and sat with him. But instead, I went up, I sat in the window seat, and I had two seats to myself. Well, with the guy next to me, who was a Bills fan too, on the aisle, but yeah. And I said hi to him, and he knew who I was and all that. So it was cool. It was a good trip home then.
That's always the best feeling on a plane, when you're sitting there and you're like watching everyone get on, and you're like, okay, nope.
Yes.
Nope.
No, I know.
Good.
Nobody, nobody's, the seat's next open. Nobody's next to me.
And then the door closes, and you're like, there it is.
But and you know what? And it was really cool. You know what they did? When the plane stopped, they looked up at me and said, which one's your bag? And they brought it to me. Very nice people.
That's awesome.
So I hope I didn't get their name. I hope their daughter does amazing in whatever bowling tournament she's in New York, because that is pretty cool. So I was glad, you know, hey, you know, you gotta be good human beings, the city of good neighbors. I was like, oh man, I don't want to go up there and sit in the middle, but if I want this woman. But it wasn't the middle, it was the window, and then the middle seat was open, and I was very happy about that, very thankful. Flight went smooth. Not so much with the flight down. I'll get to that a little bit later. Had some travel issues on the flight down. I want to get some kind of advice from all of you about this out there today that I want to explain about what happened on my travel going down to Miami and then went to Indy for the combine. Now back here in Buffalo on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. It is a Friday. Good to be back with you. Thank you very much to Josh Schmidt and Zach Jones and Derek Kramer for holding the fort down here and filling in. You guys did a great job back here. I think we had a lot of really good content from a lot of people out at the combine, right? From your perspective, Josh, listening to everything, hearing the interviews I did, all the other things that have come out from the combine, is there any takeaway you had? Like, I'm interested in what people thought about anything they heard about the Bills. Let's start with the Bills. Like, what was the big thing from the Bills? Because I'm sitting there doing the job and I'm putting the content out, but there might be something you go, you know what, Sal, that was really interesting what we heard about this.
Well, I mean, obviously we had the Shakir signing right
yeah,
away, which
yeah, for
was
sure.
really big. I was excited about that. That's perfect to lock him in, but it's been interesting to hear all of these wide receivers they're talking to today specifically, and then also the guys they talk to on the defensive line, because I think those are the two that everyone's so focused in on and everyone really wants the Bills to look at. I'm getting more towards the big guys, like the defensive line and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much in the Kenneth Grant camp. I think he'd be great, but I'm worried he's going to rise up a lot of people's boards with the testing and everything like that.
Yes, I agree.
But other than that, I mean, your interview you did with Steve Palazzolo, that was just so just incredibly insightful from him, because he had a lot of good things to say on, you know, or just interesting things to say, I should say, on like the Bills with their, where they're at in terms of defense and offense and wide receivers specifically with that one too, because a lot of the guys in this draft are slot guys. The big names anyway. And that's a lot of the guys the Bills are talking to too, which I think is really interesting, because Shakir is kind of already your slot guy and you just signed into a long-term deal. Like, there are some...
There's a thought out there that they should have drafted Ladd McConkey. And there's a thought that I always had last year where you're really kind of doubling up, though, which is Shakir. Right. But I get it. Ladd can play a little bit outside, not a lot. And Shakir can play a little bit outside. You can always take good football players. I'll tell you, I'd love to have Ladd McConkey on the Bills, but I do think that you have to think about how they go together. And one of the things the Bills have said over the years, Joe Brady said this last year, he had to be careful about redundancy at that position, right? And they did need to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, a little more physical, and have an ability on the outside, which they didn't have. But this year you go into it, I mean, I don't know, maybe Jeremy has called it the wide receiver train again, but I don't think we're so much on the wide receiver train as much this year as last year. Still need help there, still need some more. Wide receiver really comes down to me for the Bills this year of what do they think they're going to get from Keon Coleman, and what do they think they're going to get from Curtis Samuel? And if you piece together everything that was said from the combine over the week, from Sean McDermott to Brandon Bean, I think they all expect Keon Coleman will take a year two jump, but they also aren't sure because it didn't go great for him as the year went on and after the injury, and we've all heard, and that is still, to me, one of the biggest takeaways from the combine was what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both said again about Keon Coleman, especially McDermott, who seemed pretty critical of Keon. Critical to the point of very professionally critical. What I mean by that is he wasn't blasting the guy and as a person, as a human being, just, hey, he's got to be better than what he was after the injury. And we've communicated that to him. He wasn't the same player. Brandon Bean said that. Bean kind of softened the blow a little bit when he talked after McDermott did. And I think that's more of like, okay, like we've piled on the kid a bit here and they sense that. But at the same time, they are letting everyone know, hey, we expected more out of him later because he was really trending well. I mean, for people to say, if anybody says Keon Coleman was a bad draft pick, that's fine. You could say that after 1 year. He was trending really well, and he was playing really good football for the few weeks before he got hurt. Then he has the injury. He misses 5 weeks, and he comes back, and he just wasn't the same player. And that showed up in the number of targets. That showed up in the lack of contested catches he had. So that's number one. The second part of that is, what do they think they're going to get from Curtis Samuel? I firmly believe that they believe the turf toe injury to Curtis Samuel really impacted the way he was able to play or not play and what they were able to do with him throughout the season. And then he had these other little nicks and bumps and bruises that kind of piled up. And there was a shoulder injury there. And he had the foot thing was happening all year. It was back and forth with that. Look, he's not a guy that's been hurt a lot in his career. He's missed some games. But I don't have a concern if he stays healthy. Like, to me, that happens in football, right? He had a bad injury or an injury that lingered, and now we'll see. But again, the question is, can you count on that? Is that what they're going to count on? They kind of have to with the contract they gave him. You know, they want him to. It's $8 million a year for 3 years. That continues on next year. So a lot of the wide receiver discussion goes there. I think most people are focused on defensive tackle, as Josh just said a little while ago. And all of that's happening this weekend. The defensive tackles, defensive linemen, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, everybody working out in Indianapolis this weekend. I'm back here because all that happens. We'll get the information on TV. Watch that, have the numbers for you, and then you'll see it this weekend. In Indy, it was a great time at the NFL Combine to get a lot of information, to kind of feel out the landscape of the league. It's really interesting when you have a great quarterback like Josh Allen, and you don't have to be walking around Indianapolis wondering what everybody thinks about quarterback and as it relates to your team. And my conversations with about teams and media when it came to quarterbacks was about their teams, right? Where do you see that team at quarterback? Because I just think it's still super interesting, the carousel and the landscape around the league at quarterback. it's really kind of the number one storyline every year. And now we have this Matthew Stafford story, and that's with the Raiders. Is that going to happen? It seems like it's starting to percolate even more. Then you had this fight that happened, apparently, whatever you want to call it, a verbal confrontation at Starbucks between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz, which actually did happen, even though the first report seemed like it was almost like a joke. It actually did happen. Wild. Wild week in Indy. It was an awesome week in Indy. A lot of good information. A lot of good times. I will share some of that as we go on today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here. Glad to have you with me and us here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Give me a call if you'd like. Anything you heard from the Combine that translates into what you think about this offseason. It could even be the salary cap going up over $20 million again. $24 million this year. $31 million increase last year at this time. Another $24 million increase this year. What does that mean for the Bills? Whatever your thought is, if you have an overarching thought about the Bills this offseason, I'd like to get to that today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number. My buddy Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, the Shout podcast was in Indy as well earlier this week. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. to talk about his thoughts on the Bills, what he gathered from McDermott and Bean, and anything else that kind of went down at Indy. So I'll get with Matt at 11 a.m. Before that, late addition to the show here, Armando Salguero, who covers the Miami Dolphins, writes for Outkick.com. We've had Armando on a lot here, and of course, he's on a lot on the afternoon show as well. Armando wrote a story that was just put out, like literally just before I went on the air, and I'm like, ooh, dude, I got to get him on the air here. While I was in Indy, I wasn't able to get with any Miami people. There was different things going on, and they were kind of doing their own thing. So, you know, you don't want to infringe on that space as they're doing their job. I was able to get with people from other media, but this is great timing because Armando covers the Dolphins. He'll join me today at 10:30 in just about 15 minutes. Here is the teaser to the article he wrote. All right. How's this sound to you, Josh? Here's the teaser to the article. It's what he wrote on Twitter. Tyreek Hill is a great speed receiver on a team that needs to be more physical. He's a great cheerleader, but not a leader. The Dolphins added him in a trade, and it got KC better. Oh, and he quit in the 2024 finale. Dolphins should trade him. Read it.
Wow.
That's a great teaser on Twitter.
That's crazy.
That's not clickbait. That's click, and yes, I want to read more.
Yeah. That's like draw you in because I got some stuff to say.
Yes, exactly. And it's not like inside info. He's right on all this, right? That's
oh, for sure. Wait,
you could
exactly
debate the whole the word quit or whatever, of course, right? These are all subjective terms, but yes, it's exactly right. So Armando's going to join me at 10:30 on his thoughts on Tyreek Hill and his thoughts on the Miami Dolphins heading into the 2025 season. You know, you talk with a lot of people about in the league and yeah, the quarterbacks are the thing. Last year, the Dolphins thing was the contract extension for Tyreek. It's not as much that this year. There were a few guys last year, last couple of years, you know, that group of Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, they've come up. You know, Allen's contract extension, something they got to do there. That's been the talk the last few years. But this year, it's more about who's going to come available, where's this guy going to go, and the teams that need one, are they actually going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Because what does this class look like? And I was blown away when I realized, you know, Joe Shane, former Bills assistant GM, he speaks on the Giants, and he goes, you know, the only quarterback on our roster right now is Tommy DeVito. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. Kind of crazy. So what are they going to do? I mean, to me, and the way it sounds like from Giants media that cover them, like, they need to grab somebody for this year. They can't wait on a quarterback. They can't go out and draft a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward and think they're just going to start winning games, because if they don't, they're not their first year, right? I'm talking about Shane and Dable. If they don't win, they're out. We kind of know that. So there's pressure on them, and I think urgency on them to find that quarterback. Other teams might be a little bit different. Tennessee's going to kind of have to restart. They're going to the second year with their coach. They had Will Levis, didn't work out, but is a quarterback worthy at the number one pick? Maybe. You got Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Those are the guys at the top of the draft. Not a quarterback this year, maybe. We'll see. How about Cleveland? How does their situation look? I think they're another team. There's two thoughts on Cleveland, two schools of thought here that I've heard. Number one, tear the whole damn thing down. Burn it and start over. Draft a quarterback. Draft Cam Ward. Draft Shedeur Sanders. Whoever it is. That's fine if they want to do that. I've also heard from Cleveland. No. They have players. They have a pretty. They can have a really good defense, especially if they can convince Myles Garrett to stay, which doesn't sound like it's the case. But how do you do that? You have had a good, great running game. Even though the O-line's getting a little older, you could still do something there. Obviously, it's not Deshaun Watson. What is it? I think Kirk Cousins seems like the favorite idea in Cleveland right now. I'm not saying that's a great idea. I think Kirk Cousins feels like, what does that feel like to you? Kirk Cousins in Cleveland. Seems like it's the flavor and the idea. And by the way, he had worked with Stefanski. That's a big reason why as well.
I just don't see it working out very well. I mean, yeah. He's immobile now. He's not been that good in Atlanta. And with all the bad vibes in Cleveland, I don't think it fits at all. He needs to go to a place where he can just kind of sit in the pocket and have good receivers to throw to, where Cleveland has none of that. Like, yeah. It's just not the right place, I don't think. But then again, like, I don't know if Cleveland's the right place for anybody, right? Like, it's a tough situation in general.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the team that I think is becoming super interesting just for this is the Steelers. From everybody I've talked to at the Combine, it feels like, and Pitt, this is like Pittsburgh media. When I say everybody, I mean most of like the Pittsburgh media that I talk to. I'm not with the Steelers GM getting the info on this other than hearing what he says. But most people who cover the Steelers say kind of sort of the same thing in a different way, which is the Steelers kind of want Justin Fields to be the guy, but Justin Fields might not want to be the guy there. He might want to be the guy somewhere else. So if that doesn't happen, do they go back to Russell Wilson being the guy who they kind of don't want to be the guy, but they might have to because it might be the only option? Or do they draft somebody? Do they go out and make a play for Stafford, which doesn't seem like is going to be in their MO? And then you got an aging defense with Watt and Hayward and even Minka, who's a little bit older now. And how much time do you have left there for that group if you're going to do this? Or are you resetting? You're not going to reset this year. You're resetting next year. And what does that look like, right? So there's a lot of stuff there with them as well. Very interesting. That's what happens at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Where does Sam Darnold fit into all that?
That's a great question.
His contract value, by the way, on SpotTrack right now, the estimated market value is $40
million. I thought Darnold was going to be the Raiders guy until all the Stafford stuff started happening.
I wonder if the Stafford stuff falls apart if they go right back to Darnold.
I'll tell you where I think Darnold winds up after. The first question is this: are the Vikings keeping Sam Darnold? Let's just say they don't. I'm going to go back to the team we just talked about. I think the Giants make sense.
That'd be really funny too if he went from one New York team to the other.
I know, right? Hey, Tyrod Taylor did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, by the way, the Jets are interesting here. Is he the starter for the Jets? As of right now, he's their only quarterback. Technically, Aaron Rodgers is still on the roster. Go look at the Jets roster. Tyreek Hill, Aaron Rodgers. No Rodgers, we know that. Not Tyreek Hill. Tyrod Taylor, sorry. Tyrod Taylor's their quarterback. That's it. Is he their starter? Does Aaron Glenn say, I'm going to draft somebody? Does he bring somebody in? There's no way. Darnold doesn't go there, right? Go back to the Jets. There's no way that happens.
No.
Cousins is in play there, I think.
Yeah, I think Cousins so, is in but play that's, there. That's just doing the Aaron Rodgers thing with, you know, less drama. Like, it's the same idea. You have a guy who just tore his ACL or Achilles.
But I think that they believe they are still close enough to compete for a playoff spot. And they also have the longest playoff drought in the league, so which gives you more urgency, even though the coach is new and he knows he probably has time.
Yeah, that's true. But I think if you go for Darnold, it's just the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's just you don't have as much drama. So maybe there won't be as many problems. Maybe you could have more success. But he's still the immobile guy that can't really move out of the pocket. And again, that offensive line isn't the best. It's not terrible, but it's better.
How big of a difference would it be if the Jets started Tyrod Taylor or Sam Darnold every game next year?
Or Sam Darnold?
As you said, I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, sorry.
Man, that's tough.
Right?
That's really tough.
Is it really that big of a difference? I don't think it is.
I don't know, but
They're different types of quarterbacks.
I think Tyrod is better for the type of team they have,
which
is just, it's awesome to see him get a starting job again. Like, that's really cool to see just everything he's been through, and now he's back in a starting position potentially. Like, but I think he fits their team mold better than what a Kirk Cousins does.
I think it's super interesting. That's another team to watch out for, and obviously at the NFL Combine, paying attention to what Aaron Glenn had to say. Muji, I think, is how you say their new GM's name. They call him Muj. He came from Denver, was talking with some guys over there, really like him. Young guy on a nice track, becomes the GM of the Jets. Also, obviously, Mike Vrabel in New England. That's an interesting one. Look, the Patriots are going to be better. They're going to be better. They have a really good quarterback, I think, to start with here. And they have a much better coach. And Mike Vrabel's going to he's gonna run the ship right. He's going to get them back to kind of on track and have the kind of discipline and the things that they need. The problem is the things they need on the field are very numerous. They don't have a lot of playmakers. And I think they're shifting philosophies on both offense and defense in some ways, where when you do that, it usually takes a good year to kind of get everything back to where it needs to be. There's a lot of question marks about their coaching staff, how it's going to work. You got Josh McDaniels there working with Drake May. Could go great. Doesn't have to go great. We'll see. We've seen quarterbacks come in this league who had great rookie years. C.J. Stroud comes to mind, obviously. And then all of a sudden, it kind of it's not as great the next year. So I think there's still a lot of questions there. But when it comes to the New England Patriots, obviously Bill's AFC East Division rival, I think they have a chance to be the second best team in the division, but that's mainly because I don't think the Dolphins or Jets are going to be that good. And I think if the Patriots, I mean, if they play the kind of the way that Mike Vrabel really wants to and can play, they can minimize their mistakes. They can play some lower scoring games. They don't have a ton of talent on offense. They do have a lot of cap space. They're going to go out there. They have some draft picks. They have a high draft pick. They can be better, quicker. And to me, it's like their trajectory is facing up, whereas the Jets and Dolphins is either plateau or going down. And I don't doubt that they could intersect and be a little bit better than those teams. And if that's the case, what is that, though? Is that 7-8 wins? It's not enough to make the playoffs. The Bills are still very, very, very much the class of the AFC East. Very much. The other teams are starting to figure the things out. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, every year is a different year. And obviously, you hope the Bills stay healthy. The Bills clearly have, A, the best quarterback in the division. We know that. They got the league MVP. They just have the better roster and the overall organizations right now than any of those teams. There's no doubt about that. But I think the Patriots are the team next, though, that is close. They might be at the end of next year. I think we'll be saying that Patriots are the closest team to the Bills in the division, closer than the Jets or the Dolphins. But how close is that, I think, is the question. And we'll see. And maybe we feel really good. And maybe, I mean, from a football standpoint, feel really good about where the Jets are after Aaron Glenn, who's a culture changer, goes in there. Dolphins, I think, have kind of lost their way. Mike McDaniel did sign a contract extension before last year. But, man, if they don't, like, win a playoff game, I think it's winning a playoff game. The Jets have the longest playoff drought of not making the playoffs in the entire league. The Dolphins have the longest playoff win drought in the entire league. They haven't won a playoff game in, like, a quarter century. And I think it's that long. When's the last time? 2000, 2001, something like that? When's the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game? 21? Take a look. I know it's right there somewhere. I think it's like 01, maybe? Like 25 years? Dolphins' last playoff win. I know I can Google it, but I'm going to rely on you to do that.
That would be December 30th of 2000. They beat the Colts 23-17.
That's a quarter century has gone by before the Dolphins have won a playoff game. So I think if they don't win a playoff game, they could be looking at big changes, both in their front office and at head coach, possibly. In the meantime, what does Armando Salguero think about that? He covers the Miami Dolphins. He just wrote a piece this morning about Tyreek Hill. He's still in Indianapolis, and he's going to join me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Thanks for sticking with me. We got cruise tips later. All right? My cruise tips. I got some good cruise tips. You're going to cruise? You want to go on a cruise? I have cruise tips for you. Because I've gone on plenty and enough of them to tell you what I think you need to know. Plus, a couple cool Netflix documentaries that I watched. So we're going to get to a lot of things today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But first up, next up, Armando Salguero joins me to talk about the Dolphins. All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you back here in Buffalo. I was in Indy for 4 days. We're going to go back out to Indy right now because our guy Armando Salguero is still at the NFL Combine. I think you're still there, right, Armando?
I am still here.
All right. Well, I think at this point I should be asking you where you're getting your coffee in the morning, to be quite honest with you.
Well, you know, there's a choice. You can go to the free Starbucks coffee in the media room, or you can go to the Starbucks counter at the JW Marriott, and maybe a fight will break out. Who knows? That's the way it is around here.
It is amazing. I try to explain to our listeners what it's like, and I say, it's really the only time in the NFL calendar, it's this huge convention for all of college and pro to come together, and you have all the media descending on there, and it's really just, a lot of times it's, you know, some media people are like vultures, right? They just want to get with this GM or coach and have one-on-one time. They stalk them out, and then other people are just kind of there to get their information, their content. But this is where a lot of the competitive juices come out, and that's what happened. And this story, honestly, I feel uncomfortable even talking about it, but it became a story, right? I mean, that's what happened.
Well, you know, it's because of the fact that it involves a high intensity and high attention NFL player in Matthew Stafford, number one. It involves two guys that are on television and competing networks. And it involves a little, you know, tit for tat history that those two guys have. And now everybody's getting involved. You saw the guys on TNT, the pregame show, the postgame show are talking about it. You know, it's delicious in its ability to distract from, you know, the cone drill. Let's put it that way. It's more interesting than that.
No doubt about it. Armando's in Indy. I did see you pass by. I was doing some work. I'm glad we were able to catch up now because we weren't able to talk there. And I actually didn't talk to anybody regarding the Dolphins because I know the way the schedules worked out. So I'm so glad you wrote this piece today and I was able to reach out and thank you for coming on a short notice. I'm going to read it to everybody again. It says, Tyreek Hill is a speed receiver on a team that needs to be more physical. He's a great cheerleader, but not a leader. The Dolphins added him in a trade and it got Casey better. Oh, and he quit in the 2024 season finale. Dolphins should trade him. I love this lead-in. Tell us all about just kind of your collective thoughts on why you put this together for Dolphins fans to know everything you were thinking about Tyreek Hill.
Well, because we're covering an NFL where teams do hard things, Sal. Oftentimes, it looks terrible, and oftentimes it makes fans cringe. But oftentimes it must be done to get better and to move on. The people in Buffalo are familiar with, you know, moving on from Stephon Diggs. Did the Bills have a better year after they moved on from Stephon Diggs? I mean, last I looked, they were in the AFC Championship game, right?
And their quarterback won league MVP.
Yeah, exactly. The Kansas City Chiefs, they moved on from Tyreek Hill 3 years ago and have been to three consecutive Super Bowls, winning two of them. It happens. This offseason, the San Francisco 49ers are going to trade Deebo Samuel. Is that, like, on the face of it, look like a smart decision? No, but they've decided they have to do it because it's time to go in a different direction. You don't keep doing the same thing over and over again and hope to get different results. The Miami Dolphins are a team that are a finesse, fast team, and it's great for them. It's very exciting. It's very entertaining, but it doesn't win at the end of the season. It doesn't beat good physical football teams. They can't do it. The record says they can't. My eyes tell me they can't. It's time to move on from a 5'10", you know, speed receiver who is – one of three other 5'10 feet speed receivers that they have in their wide receiver room. No less than Nick Sirianni was talking about how you comprise a receiver room here at the combine. And he said, you don't gather four point guards. It's like building a basketball team. You need a point guard. You need a center. You need a forward. Mm-hmm. You don't have the same guy over and over and over. And the Dolphins have exactly that. And oh, by the way, last I saw Nick Sirianni before yesterday, he was in the Super Bowl.
Hoisting a Lombardi trophy, no doubt, right? I mean, and they have put together, they do have different skill sets on their roster. Now look, Tyreek Hill has this amazing skill set, but tell me about the player himself and what he is now, because obviously a lot of these guys, their speed starts to diminish. There's other things they have to kind of turn to. We saw that a little bit with Stephon Diggs toward the end of his Buffalo career. He was never a speed guy necessarily, but he had to kind of figure out a different way and it wasn't working as much. What about Tyreek Hill and what he has left as a player?
Look, I think he's got plenty left in the tank. He's going to be 31 on Saturday. Happy birthday, Tyreek. I want you traded. The thing about him is, again, not physical. The price of his non-physicality is going up because
his contract runs out next year in a year where his cap number is in the 50s. Okay?
Yeah.
In the 50s.
Wow.
That's not you know, optimal. And, oh, by the way, at the end of last season, this is the second year in a row that he finishes the season with a terrible, terrible look. 2 years ago, in a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, Lajarius Sneed just totally destroyed him to the point where Tyreek Hill said, yeah, he sent me to Cancun. And the NFL tweeted it out on its social media, what a smothering it was. Last year, against the New York Jets, who, by the way, aren't that good, they totally erased him from the game, and then he erased himself from the game in the fourth quarter when he decided, I'm not playing anymore. That is not leadership. That is not the look that you want on your team if you're the Miami Dolphins. And having said all this, my guess is that they'll remain with Tyreek Hill on their roster because it's a soft organization. It's a culture that just, I don't know, man. They very entertaining, but not a winning.
Interesting, because I want to get to the coaching staff. Did all of this cost Wes Welker his job, everything you're talking about?
They've told me it didn't, that wasn't the reason that Wes Welker was gone. Having said that, I think Wes Welker is a gritty guy. Mm-hmm. I think he demands grit from his guys. And when one of his guys quits, that ain't grit.
No, that's right. Now, what about the head coach, Mike McDaniel? I mean, this is a team and organization, as you know more than anyone. We were just saying they have not won a playoff game in a quarter century. It's the longest playoff win drought in the NFL. Mike McDaniel, contract extension, I believe, before last year was announced. What is his status going into 2025 and Chris Greer, for that matter, as well?
They think they're on the right track. And I say that, you know, kind of, I don't know. Look, they have this thing about we want to be best in class. And so they are right now celebrating the fact that the NFLPA report card came out. And for the second year in a row, they have the highest grade. They won the NFL report card championship, so to speak, because they provide their players with all the best and the fanciest and the most comfortable amenities possible, from the team plane to the cafeteria to the locker room to child rearing and all of that stuff. And that's great. You know what my typical Miami Dolphin fan thinks when they see that? We won the NFLPA report card for the second year in a row.
What's that?
We're a team that doesn't make the playoffs or didn't last year, doesn't beat good teams because they haven't. They are finesse bullies in that they beat up these poor teams with poor records. And a couple of years ago, they put 70 points on the Denver Broncos, who were overmatched because they couldn't keep up. But then when it comes to playing a good team like the Buffalo Bills, They just wilt, and they got nothing. And Tyreek Hill, last year against the Buffalo Bills, this great, amazing receiver, three receptions for 24 yards in the first meeting, four receptions for 80 yards in the second meeting. They got blown out in both. He didn't score a touchdown in either.
You know what I see when I look at that report card, and we talked about this with Shope and the Bulldog, the guys you're on a lot with here, that when I see all those A's and A-pluses from a team that doesn't win, I think things are too comfortable. The guys like it. They're not getting pushed, right? Like we talked about, which goes back to maybe on the field. That's my read of it. Hey, yeah, all these things are great. It's really nice. We have this really fun organization. We're in the sun and, you know, and the hot tubs and all that and pools in Miami or whatever, but it's too comfortable, and that's not how you win in the NFL.
100% agreed. Look, the Bills were 26th in that survey / report card grading. The Eagles were 22nd. The Chiefs 2 years ago were 30th in the year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So clearly players being comfortable and happy and flying first class and all of that, that's great and nice if you're also winning. But if you're not winning and you're comfortable, something is amiss.
Yeah, I like that. Armando, I'm going to let you get back to work at the Combine. So good of you to join me here today on such short notice. I really appreciate it, brother. And we'll catch up maybe at the owners' meetings in about a month.
Love you, Sal.
All right, you too, buddy. Armando Salguero right there. Outkick, Fox News, sports, everything. He does a great job. You can, by the way, follow Armando. I just want to get his Twitter handle. I think it's just Armando Salguero, but I'm going to do that right for you right now before I leave because I want you to go read this particular piece at Armando Salguero on X/Twitter. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, I have cruise tips for everybody because we have Matt Parrino come up at 11, so I had a short segment. When I come back, here, I got like, what? I mean, I wrote them down. I got four big cruise tips for everybody. You're going on a cruise? I've done enough of these things now. Now I'm not a cruise master, but I've cruised enough to tell you a few things you need to know if you're going on a cruise. Cruise tips with Sal after this timeout on WGR. All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little tropical music here for you on a little colder day. Still some snow on the ground here in Western New York. The weather will turn eventually. I think we're going to hit like close to 60 next Wednesday, I think I was looking at, right? Yeah, and a little colder after that. Doesn't matter. You might be thinking about going somewhere, getting a little sunshine, getting a little tan. That's what I did. I said, I need to get out, get some sunshine. That's what we did. We love going on cruises, my family and I. And I'd gone on one my entire life back when I was in the 20s with my parents. Went to Hawaii, actually, on a cruise many years ago. And I'd not done it for a long time. My wife, she loves to travel. She's from Europe. So we've done that thing before. But we started cruising years ago. And it's just awesome. Now, I get it. A lot of people don't love boats because it's a little too rocky. You don't want to do that. I'm here to tell you, most of these cruise ships, you do not feel yourself even moving. The ships are massive. Ours we were on was 19 decks. I think 19 total. Actually, ironically, had, I think, 14 or 19 bars. This huge sports bar. We watched the Canada-USA gold medal in game in. They have a casino. They almost all do. There was a bowling alley on ours, a huge water park. That's what these cruise ships have these days. But if you're going to go cruising, okay, here are four things that I said. You know what? I think my listeners would like to know these tips about cruises. So here we go. All right, open it up. Let's start. I'm going to go to the number one. The biggest one is last. So let's start with number four because this is very important. Okay. Learn the ship as quick as you can. It is, you're there for 7 days or 5 days or whatever. You're on this ship that is so massive that it's like a big maze when you walk around. What deck is that on? What deck is that on? If you can get on the ship early, and I know that has to do sometimes with how you pay for priority boarding, whatever. Doesn't matter. When you get on the ship, you will have time to walk around and familiarize yourself with the ship. Where is the dining room? Where is this bar? Where's the casino? Where's the kids club? Where's the water park? Where am I going? Where's my room? What's the most efficient way to get there? Learn the ship as quick as you can. It will make your life so much easier as you go on throughout your time on the ship to know where everything is. Okay, that's tip number one from Sal. Cruise tips with Sal. Number two, you're probably going to download an app of some sort, whether it's an app or just a schedule. Take a look at all the activities they have and make sure you sign up for the ones that are like that fit you and you want to do. There are so many things. We did a cool thing. We went to a super, it's all free, by the way. It's all free. Now excursions aren't, you might have some you have to pay for, but most of them are all free, but they might have limited space on these. You could just walk in and go to a cool trivia contest like we did. They played movie music trivia. Like they'd play a song and you'd have to say what movie it was from. We did that. We did karaoke. I did karaoke. I did Ice Ice Baby. My wife has it all on video. People were telling me how great
Release
it was.
Release the tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Release
it was great.
The tapes.
I did Ice
That's
Ice
amazing.
Baby. Some woman came up to me. She goes, "You're Sal Capaccio, a big Bills fan. That was amazing." I said, "That's awesome. I love it." Right? So we did that. Make sure you sign up for and say, "Oh, that's a really cool one," because they will go fast. The good ones will go fast. Okay? So sign up for any activities. The next one is on the heels of that. Folks, take advantage of the best shows you see. I saw an amazing Michael Jackson show while we were there. This person was just like Michael Jackson. They did Beat It and Billie Jean and Thriller and all these songs. And it was like watching Michael Jackson. It was amazing. It was incredible. I'm telling you, find some cool shows. These things are free, but you got to make sure you hit it. You know, before you, we did another one. It was an 80s rock show. And they just did a medley of 80s rock, and I'm into it. We're singing. It was incredible. Take advantage of these shows. They're free. These are things that if you want to pay a normal price to go to at Chase or at KeyBank or something like that, you're paying a lot of money. Now, it's only 40 minutes maybe at most, but that's cool. You're in and out. Go take advantage of it. Finally, my number one tip, if you're going cruising, my number one tip, get the drink package, everybody. Get the drink package. I don't even drink that much. I am not a big alcohol drinker. I don't really like beer. I like some red wine. I like some seltzers. I actually like my spicy Bloody Marys. I realize even more than I thought I did in the morning, especially. My wife's not a big drinker. But the reason you get the drink package is, and we have our son, and soda. Whether it's soda or alcohol, doesn't matter. Juice, soda, whatever. Get the drink package. It will save you a huge hassle at every time you think about how much, well, what am I paying for? What is that? How much does that cost? Okay. Number two, at the end of the stay, you're probably going to actually pay less money because I think it's like between 60 and 90 bucks a day per person. I know it sounds like a lot. I'm telling you, you have a few drinks while you're there every day. That's adding up to over $100 a day by the time you get to the end of it, especially if you have kids, right? So you're actually saving money. Get the darn drink package if you're going on a cruise. That's number one. Cruise tips from Sal. Hope everybody learns a little bit next time you're going cruising. All right? Learn the ship. Sign up for activities. Take advantage of some great shows. And get the damn drink package. Matt Perino next from Syracuse.com after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah. last hour of the week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'll be back next week in this time slot. You never know. You might hear Zach or Josh a long way if something happens. I know the Bills did sign Khalil Shakir to a contract extension. We haven't heard from him yet, so at some point that could happen as well. But I'll be on here next week, 10 to 12, on WGR. Thanks for hanging with me today. Back from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Prior to that, it was a cruise to get some sunshine out in Belize and Costa Maya, Cozumel, Bahamas. That was pretty cool. My buddy Matt Perino, I thought he went on a little vacay a little before the NFL Combine as well. He joins me on the Wester Hotline, Orlando, right? You guys were in Disney for a little while.
Yeah, we were in Disney World for 5 days, 6 days.
Okay.
And we went to the parks for about 4 days. The last 2 days were park hopper days. And those were those are challenges. Those test the cardio.
No doubt. And how have you mastered doing all that in one day? Because a couple of days, because there's so much there. Those park hoppers. You almost have to pick and choose what you don't do.
Well, I think part of it is just understanding where everything is, what you want to do in every park. My wife's like an expert, but if you don't know. Like talking to somebody that is either a planner or somebody that goes all the time and really knows, I think sets you up for a great trip.
That sounds like what I just said about my cruise tips. I just did cruise tips with Sal, and I said, know the ship. When you get there, know the ship. It just saves you so much time to know where you're going all the time. Which park is your favorite or your kid's favorite?
My kid's favorite is Magic Kingdom. My favorite is probably Epcot. That's probably the most like adult friendly park. It's got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is the best ride in my opinion. And then you could drink around the world. But it's not only just drink around the world, you can eat around the world too. Ooh. Which is really awesome.
No doubt about it. And then you go to Indy like I did as well. Now, Matt used to cover UFC before he was on the Bills beat here with the NFL. Little did we know you'd be covering some UFC between reporters going on in Indianapolis at the Starbucks, I guess, right?
Yes. I was already, I think, on my plane ride back when that was really starting to break. You know, the insider game, man, like it's big business, I guess. It's big, it's box office.
It is, there's no doubt. Check it out. If anybody doesn't know, it's the second time I've referenced it here. Armando Salguero was on earlier, but you can check out the story. The Starbucks dust-up between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz. It was referenced on TNT's Inside the NBA last night. We kind of have a life of its own as it's come about. But in the meantime, a lot of business to be had at the NFL Scouting Combine. Sean McDermott went early because he's on the competition committee. He spoke. Let's rewind all the way to Monday evening and then Brandon Bean on Tuesday afternoon. Give me a big takeaway you took from either or both of the men speaking about the Buffalo Bills.
I think for McDermott, my big takeaway was how aggressive he's been since the end of the season and continues to be when talking about Keon Coleman. And I think like part of it is like you see some of the rhetoric, what he's saying about him, and that, you know, welcome to the NFL. Like you learn how to, you know, what it's about, how hard it is, and then you have to respond to that. And I think a lot of people could maybe take away from that maybe he didn't work hard enough. But I just think that he's setting the stage for what the Bills need him to do this offseason. They're coming off of a year in year two for Dalton Kincaid, who I know is a tight end, but was a big-time draft pick for them, who maybe didn't have the kind of second-year impact that they needed him to have for a multitude of reasons. I think they want to try to give Keon Coleman every opportunity to take a big step, and I think setting the expectations from the jump are important. Like, you were a top pick. I know it was the first pick of the second round, but they need him to be one of the top playmakers on their offense, depending on what happens in free agency and the draft. If they don't come out of both of these parts of the year with something significant, Keon Coleman's going to be the guy that you look at the receiver position as somebody that they need to produce. So I think that's what Sean McDermott's doing, and I think it was a little good cop, bad cop, right? Because then Brandon Bean came out the next day and kind of softened it a little bit and said, listen, they believe in him. They think that he's going to rise to the occasion. And it's funny, if you follow Del Fonte, the wide receiver guru trainer, he's already in the lab with him. He trained some of the best wide receivers in the game. I've seen everybody from Hopkins to Jefferson to a couple other guys working with him, and Coleman's working with him right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a very determined Keon Coleman in the spring and the summer.
I like that a lot. Last year, it was a lot of focus on wide receiver, and it still will be depending on what they think about Coleman and maybe Curtis Samuel. But I think the big focus, obviously, has been at defensive tackle and defensive line. Do you get that sense that this is an area where this team is really going to concentrate this offseason?
It has to be. And honestly, I think it has to be in a way that is of their own doing, because Dwayne Carter is the pick last year. That's the first defensive tackle the Bills have drafted since Ed Oliver. And that's just not good enough. That's just not really trying to stock the cupboards with talent at a very premium position, and one that I think the Bills believe is a premium position. I mean, we always talk to them about, you know, where these games are won and where they need to, you know, be. And I think going into last year, I think the idea was probably you had a couple of different pieces. You were bringing back Daquan Jones on a deal, so you had your starters figured out. And I think sometimes teams, when they do have their starters on the roster, maybe don't put as big of a premium on a spot. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, this everybody eats model that the offense had kind of gravitated to, I think probably would have given them the opportunity to go with maybe a Tavondre Swift at that 33 spot, or maybe trade back even further once again to get more draft picks. And you can go and get a wide receiver later, especially with the, you know, the, because it never felt like they needed to come out of that draft with Keon Coleman, right? Like, it felt like they liked him, they liked the spot, they ended up picking him. And I know, like, you know, there's been talk about maybe Josh Allen being a fan and them wanting him from that perspective. But I just think you have to be very careful about when you draft players. And Brandon Bean, since he got here in 2017, he's talked so much about it can't be drafting for need. You have to draft best player available. And I don't know if you can make that argument for Coleman at that spot at 33, especially when Cooper DeJean goes after him. Swift looks like every bit what everybody thought he could be, you know, with the ceiling in year one next to Jeffrey Simmons. Yep. Who knows what that could have meant for Ed Oliver. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a bunch of defensive tackles that we could talk about in this class. Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, to me, is where the conversation starts, because he's a polarizing guy. Depending on who you talk to in Indianapolis, some people think he can go top 15. Some people think that he might not even be a first rounder, depending on how he tests at the combine this week. So the good thing is defensive tackle is about as packed a position in this draft as there is. So I think the Bills can hit that early, maybe middle rounds, maybe even late rounds a couple of times and come out of the draft with a couple building blocks.
Matt Parrino here on the Wester Hotline. I know that both McDermott and Bean were asked this question, and they didn't directly answer that, but from what you listen to and hear them say, what do you think Von Miller's future is in Buffalo?
I'm at the place now where I just don't think Von Miller is going to be back, and I think it wasn't necessarily even anything that either of them said. I do know that they were both asked about it, and neither wanted to really commit to anything. They both, you know, raved about who Von Miller is and what he's been for the team. But I think going into next year, you got to get younger, you got to get, you know, faster, you got to get a little bit more. They're uncomfortable, it feels, and you can, you know, you've been around them just as long as I have. It feels like they're uncomfortable when they have a guy at defensive end that is only going to be on the field for a certain amount of snaps. You can't put him out in every situation. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the part of it where I would think they'd be okay with moving on from Von. And then the other part of it is, after June 1st, you add $17 million in salary cap space. I don't think any of these big-time trades are happening. I think the standoff is going to continue into the summer for Garrett. And then Crosby, you kind of got to wait and see. Do they get Matthew Stafford? Does that change whether or not he wants to apply any pressure? I think the sweet spot is during the summer, or maybe even into the season, where the Bills are going to want some cap space to go after one of these players potentially. If it goes ugly and maybe they report late, Crosby or Garrett specifically, mm-hmm. Now you at least have the kind of dollars to take a swing if a swing isn't available to you earlier than that.
Yeah, it's a great point about the post-June 1, and you would save $17 million, you'd cost yourself a little over $6 on the cap each of the next 2 years, which is absorbable, but it's a lot better price than cutting now, and you'd have to take on a pretty significant cap hit this year, even though you would have some savings, no doubt about that. When it comes to McDermott and Bean, some of the things they touched on, you were the one that asked Sean McDermott at the end of the season, do you expect Matthew Smiley back? He said yes. Obviously, things change. And Sean addressed that, the answer to you, on Monday with us. He said at that time he wanted to evaluate everything. He wanted to take his time. They have since made a change. So kind of your overall thoughts on what you think about what they did and the coaching staff changes, including, obviously, that we know now the strength and conditioning coach, Eric Ciano, being gone.
I think sometimes, like in the immediate aftermath, there's so many things that are on his plate that, you know, evaluating all the players, doing these exit interviews, you know, wrapping things up, you know, all the little, you know, housekeeping items that go into it, that I don't know if you have the kind of time to set your sights outward of the organization at a potential target. So what I think probably happened was he, at that time, didn't know that a coach at the level of Tabor was going to be available. And he's one of those kind of coaches, from every person that I've talked to, media and otherwise, around the league this past week at the Combine, people think of him as one of the best special teams coordinators in the NFL.
Agreed. Same here, by the way. Everybody, it's amazing. I actually talked to a special teams coordinator on another team who said, wow, I can't believe that guy wasn't in football last year. He's very tough to prepare for.
Right. And then so if you're McDermott and you get wind of the fact that he's kind of fishing around looking to get back into the league, that changes everything. And maybe at the time when he said that, he thought he was bringing back Matthew Smiley. When Tabor became available, everything probably changed for him. And, you know, the Bills, I don't love the fact that it felt like it was status quo at the time, because it was such a bad season for the special teams group. I mean, they were 28th in the NFL in DVOA. All of those critical mistakes. The mistakes are one thing, like the playoff game where they fake the punt and get a first down, the blocked punt in the Rams game that was really the difference in that game. But it, to me, the bigger indictment on Smiley's unit was like the communication blunders and just not being prepared for certain moments. And that, to me, is like inexcusable, unforgivable, and they had to do something different. And I think McDermott does deserve credit for knowing that, finding the guy that he thinks can make the changes. Tabor, to me, feels a lot like Cromer did 3 years ago, right? Like, nobody was really talking about Aaron Cromer. He was out of football for a year and then started to, like, you know, talk to some teams maybe about coming back. And that was an absolutely difference-making hire for this offense and this team, what they've done in the run game, what this offensive line has been. When you talk about this era of the Bills going back to 2017, you can't really tell the story and how they've sustained success, I don't think, without mentioning Aaron Cromer.
No doubt. And then Eric Ciano, head strength and conditioning coach, he's out, obviously, 11 years with the organization, I believe it was, but really since Sean's been here, maybe a year after that, he became the head strength and conditioning coach. He's been with the organization for quite a while. Like I said, always a tough move to make. I get the feeling, Matt, and you tell me what you think, if you think I'm right about this or not, but I get the feeling this was much more about the strength than the conditioning and injury part, if that makes sense.
I think that's a great way to look at it. And, I mean, they haven't – another player that they haven't minced words about and what their expectations mm-hmm. are is Dalton Kincaid. And I think that's a big piece. Now, the funny thing about that is, like, there's that juxtaposition between Kincaid, who's still struggling to do that, but it felt like James Cook really did do that, right? Like, he added size going into his third season. The way that he ran, the weapon that he was in the red zone, like, I don't know if they deserve any of the credit. Maybe they weren't as heavily involved in that. Maybe that was a lot of his off-season stuff away from the building, and they're looking to bring something a little bit more effective into the building. But even still, like, sometimes you need a different voice. You need a different vision. It might not be even that Ciano wasn't good or great or however you want to look at it. It's just like, we need something different that maybe, you know, this hasn't been working the last couple of years, specifically with an early round draft pick. Let's bring somebody else in that maybe has a different voice, a different message.
You brought up James Cook. I'm glad you did. I was going to ask you what you thought happens here, because obviously he's been very public, and it was interesting. Brandon Bean said he'd rather keep things in-house, obviously, when it comes to business, but that's not a reflection of what they feel about James personally. He has a right as a grown man to go about his business the way he wants to. The thing that I felt was really most interesting is Brandon Bean made no bones about it. They have their value on James Cook. No matter what he says, the value for them on their side is not changing. It's simply about trying to come together in an agreement.
Yeah, and I think that the one pushback I have, like, I completely support, as somebody that covers NFL football players, their right to chase what they think they're worth, right? Like, that is the whole point of this, is to come into the league, produce, and then try to go out and get as much money as you can. And that's what I think James Cook is kind of setting the stage for. I do think the important piece that we did hear from him, if you're a Bills fan that's been frustrated with the public nature of it, is like, I'm not trying to be a cancer, he said on the Sharp podcast. He's like, I just want what I think that I deserve. And he's just making what he wants known. Now, on the Bills side of things, I'm looking at this like, okay, maybe we don't hand James Cook, you know, all 100 or 90% of the red zone snaps down inside the 5-yard line, and those touchdown numbers change dramatically. And do we think that he can be a 60, 70, 80% of the snaps kind of player? Because those are the kind of guys at the running back position that you're willing to play to pay top dollar, somebody that you're not afraid to take off the field in pass protection situations. That's an area of Cook's game that I think he has to continue to develop. But I think they want him to be a part of things long term. I think that this is a negotiating tactic that players use at all positions, like specifically wide receiver, running back, quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson did it a couple years ago when he stripped his Instagram account of all the Baltimore Raven stuff. Apologies if I'm missing on that and it wasn't him. But it's happened so much, it's hard to remember who did it and who doesn't. I just think this is part of like Agent 101 when you're trying to get market money. These are some of the things that are like in the handbook. So I'm not overreacting to it. I think he's going to be on the roster next year. I think he's going to go into a contract year looking to have a big year and cement his status as a top free agent. And if he does become a free agent and the trend in the league continues, he is probably going to get paid. And I think if you're Brandon Bean, you look at it like that's still a good outcome for us, because we're going to get a nice comp pick for it, likely, and you can go and find a running back in day two, day three, and look to kind of turn this into what it's been the last couple of years with Cook again.
Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate it. Great seeing you, hanging out with you in Indianapolis. Glad you made it home safely. What do you guys got going on with the Shout Podcast?
Great timing. We'll be out at the new Wing Nuts tomorrow night.
All right.
At on Genesee Street. It's connected to the Buffalo Airport Hotel, right by the airport. It's our first live Shout podcast there. It's going to be a little bit of wrapping up the combine week, some draft stuff, and then kind of looking ahead to free agency and maybe some of the targets that we think the Bills could be going after. It's going to be a fun time. 6 to 10 tomorrow night at Wing Nuts on Genesee.
Love it, and I'm sure we'll talk again at some point soon. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Later, brother.
All right, you got it. Matt Parrino right there. You can follow him on X at Matt Parrino. Got a chance to catch up with him today and saw him all week at the Combine. Talked with a lot of people from a lot of different markets, national media at the Combine, and you heard a lot of those interviews throughout the week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One of them we didn't get to you yet. We're going to do it right now. A few minutes with Chris Emma. Now, Chris Emma, he's been on this station a lot. He is from our Odyssey sister station, The Score 670 in Chicago. Not only did I ask Chris Emma about the Bears and the draft and the NFL, we also talked a little Blackhawks and what their situation is and Connor Bedard's season. So here's Chris Emma with me from Indianapolis. We'll do this now, then we'll come back. And when I come back at 11:30 with you after that timeout, I got a couple of new documentaries I saw on Netflix I want to share with you. And, of course, we'll talk more Bills football. Here's Chris Emma, 670, The Score in Chicago. All right, here with Chris Emma from The Score 670 in Chicago, at our Odyssey sister station in Chicago. Always good to catch up with you at the NFL Combine. How's your week been here, and what's kind of your main thing that you're looking for here?
I mean, it's a different week from the Bears' perspective because they've had the number one pick the last 2 years at this point, and so it's been kind of 2 years ago wondering what they were going to do, who they would make that deal. Last year was all about the Caleb Williams frenzy, and this is the point at which you're thinking and realizing the Justin Fields thing is over, you're moving on to Caleb. Less drama this year, you know, obviously a really disappointing season for them, but they got a coach they really believe in Ben Johnson, number 10 overall pick. They have the fourth most cap space of any team out there, and they're ready to get aggressive. So right now the focus is honestly a lot more on free agency just because I think they're going to be one of the strongest suitors of any team out there.
Let's talk about Ben Johnson and why they targeted him. Is it specifically, hey, we have Caleb, we need an offensive guy? I mean, there's been a lot of talk the last few years about leaders of men and those kinds of things. What does he bring to the Bears that they liked?
You know, he checks both boxes. He's an offensive innovator and a really strong offensive mind, but he's also a guy who's going to set a standard and a culture. And, you know, the Bears fired Matt Eberflus end of November, so you really had to begin the coaching search in earnest at that point. And for Ryan Poles, the GM, he really started doing his due diligence, talking to people around the league. It became clear all along for him that Ben Johnson was going to be that guy. And from my perspective on the reporting side, like, you knew a lot about his offense. You knew a lot about what he's brought to the Lions, how he's reshaped that thing in Detroit. But it was honestly about what's he like as a dude? Like, what's he like as a leader? How is he going to take shape? Because we've seen a lot of offensive innovators who just don't know what the heck they're doing in front of the team. And my understanding through everybody I've talked to, from people in Detroit who've gotten to know him really well, said this is a guy who's going to get on people. He's going to have that smartest guy in the room type presence, but really hold people's feet to the fire in that building. The Bears really need that. Like, they desperately need somebody who's going to step in and guide them the right way. Ryan Poles is now in his fourth year. He's had a lot of struggles with this. He's not, you know, he's led this rebuild. He's had some successes, such as trading away the number one overall pick, getting the haul that ultimately got them Caleb Williams. But he's needed a lot of guidance, and he's made a lot of missteps along the way. I think the best asset for Ben Johnson in terms of the front office is the fact that he's going to challenge Ryan Poles in a way that Ryan Poles has not been challenged. And he's going to really hold him and his front office brass accountable. I think you're going to see a complete shift in personnel guided toward what Ben Johnson wants, where Matt Eberflus certainly had a say, but I think it was more, let's cater this to Flus as opposed to Flus pounding the table saying, we need this guy, we need that guy.
All right, Chris Tabor is now the new Bills special teams coordinator. You got a chance to cover Chris, watch him in Chicago for several years. What does he bring as a special teams coordinator to Buffalo?
Great dude. People love him. Like, players love that guy. It's, you want to have a special teams coordinator who players are going to really fight for and believe in. And look, he's a guy who's going to, he knows special teams like the back of his hand. He's been around the league for so many years. This is a really well-respected guy. He's got a great approach, kind of an old-school football coach in a lot of ways. And he's somebody I think he's going to really mesh well with that staff. That's a great fit. That's a really good pickup for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills targeted a veteran guy after having two first-timers. And I think that's kind of one of the things that he brings is the veteran, you know, ability to have been in the league for a while, but he also wasn't in the league last year coaching during the new dynamic kickoff. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, what do you take away from a year away and how you do that? So it'll be interesting to see from him. A guy the Bills fans really loved last year was Roma Dunze. They couldn't obviously be high enough to draft him. How did his rookie year go?
It was a mixed bag in large part because of the inconsistencies around it. And you can say that about every single player on the Bears offense saying, there's more to be desired because of the dysfunction. They had two head coaches, three different men holding the title of offensive coordinator. You had a rookie quarterback trying to figure it out. Rome was part of that. Like, he had a lot of successes, and he showed a lot of potential. I still think he's going to be great. I really do believe that. They just didn't have anything going on in offense where he could really break out, and the stats don't pop the eye. He didn't have that kind of breakthrough rookie season where he's drawn a lot of headlines. He's going to be a really good ball player. He's a great kid. Like, he really checks all the boxes in terms of character. He strikes you right away, has a great presence about him. He and Caleb Williams are really strongly connected. They developed a bond prior to the draft last year. We're working out together. When Caleb got drafted first overall, like, he's going through that immediate cycle after the draft, and somebody told him that night, you just got Rome. He was thrilled. Like, he could not be more excited about that. I think that's going to be a very strong connection. And now with Ben Johnson stepping in, you're going to have an offense that's going to be completely rebuilt, taken down to the studs, as he said, built to cater to the personnel, which is one of Ben Johnson's great characteristics as an offensive mind. He's not a product of any scheme. You're going to have a lot of things built specifically for Caleb Williams, and you think Robert Dunze is going to be a very strong part of those plans.
Before I let you go, I always have to ask a hockey question. You're on in Buffalo radio, right? I mean, yeah, how far away are the Hawks, and is there any concern about Connor Bedard's sophomore season?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not gone well. And it's very similar to what I just said about Caleb Williams, about the dysfunction around him slumping his development. That's the same for Connor Bedard. I mean, the Blackhawks have been such a mess and built so similarly to what the Bears were, where you put this veteran cast around your number one pick who got gifted to you, and then suddenly you're firing the head coach mid-season. You got a bunch of veterans who are not really fitting well. The team is one of the worst in football slash, in this case, hockey. Like, and you're letting down your prodigy here. I think it's going to all come together for the Hawks. They're going to be a lot more aggressive in free agency. I think they see this is the time where you get out of the rebuilding darkness and you try to take that next big step. They're also a team that, like, wants that attention. They're always going to be bottom of the barrel in Chicago's pro sports scene. Like, it's a bandwagon hockey market, frankly. And even when they're great, you know, they sell out the place, and but they need to really draw on the rest of the city. I think they're hungry for that kind of attention. I see them having a very strong offseason. It starts with getting the right head coach and getting Bernard's development back on track, but there's no reason why they shouldn't be, just like the Bears, one of the most aggressive teams this offseason.
Chris Emma, The Score, our Odyssey sister station in Chicago. Always great to catch up with you, buddy.
Take care,
Thanks
buddy.
A lot for talking.
Absolutely.
All right, always good to talk. Chris Emma knows his stuff out there in Chicago, our Odyssey sister station, 670. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout when we come back. I really like kind of like shorter in-and-out kind of shows and series that I can get to when I'm traveling. I had a couple of them I watched, and might kind of surprise you the kind of genre it was. I want to recommend to you when we come back. And, of course, anything you want on the Buffalo Bills, the NFL draft, it's all on the table on the last half hour of the week coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
No, it's extremely important to keep your mental in the best place because that's where my game is played. My game's not played from my legs and not even just my arm. So I know longevity to all-time greats was Tom Brady's best trait. His mental, he's able to think. So if you have those traits of greatness and I know where I'm heading, then why wouldn't the franchise pick me? You got the ultimate cheat code.
Just typing something out here. Give me 1 second. So I have to finish this tweet in real time. Can you explain to everybody what that was?
That was Shedeur Sanders in one of his many quotable quotes from his media availability today at the Combine. He has said a lot of stuff today. Other ones include, franchises should expect to change the culture if you draft me. They should expect to win. History repeats itself. We've changed programs before. We'll do it again. He's talking just like his dad. It's going to be interesting to see if those kind of comments, though, like turn teams off, right? Like, I feel like there's going to be some teams out there that go, yeah, no, I don't want anything about this guy. And there's other teams that are going to be fired up about it.
Okay, so, yeah, his dad, by the way, obviously one of the most, like, confident slash cocky people. Everybody was unbelievable.
When did he go from confidence to cockiness?
Well, it's a good question. I think that's a different subjective scale for most people. But I would say it this way, too, that... you know, or how about this? I was thinking about this the other day about his dad. All this stuff about Travis Hunter. What's he going to play? There are so many guys, I think, actually, who could have played both receiver and DB in the NFL. Deion's one of them. But he didn't. He was a DB. He was incredible. He's one of the greatest of all time at that position. You know, tell me Deion Sanders could have played wide receiver? I guarantee he could have. He actually didn't even like to hit people. He made business decisions, he said. He'd rather not get hit. But I think that could be one of them. All right, I'm actually about to tweet out something here. Bills related. Not a big deal, but it's just something newsworthy. I can confirm through a league source, the Bills are targeting Turner West for a special teams coaching role. Turner West is currently the Georgia Southern's special teams coordinator. Okay, hold on. I'm going to put this out now. And it was first reported by John Bryce of footballscoop.com. There we go. So there you have it. League source confirms Bills are targeting Turner West for a special teams coaching role. First reported by John Bryce of Football Scoop. West is currently Georgia Southern's special teams coordinator. So there you go. Looks like that's going to be an addition to the staff. So I wonder if that means for Cody Harkey, who is actually the Bills' current assistant special teams coach, because we know Matthew Smiley was the main special teams coordinator, and he is no longer. Cody Harkey, by the way, always like having him on staff. His dad is Mike Harkey, the Yankees bullpen coach. That's why I always like having Cody Harkey. And obviously, he's a good dude, but pretty cool to say, oh, his dad's the Yankees bullpen coach, which is pretty cool. So there you go. A little bit of news for you today from the Bills. Do you like watching, you have Netflix? You have Netflix? Right. Who doesn't, right, these days? I mean, price keeps going up no matter what. What do you like to watch? When you go there, do you look for movies? Do you look for docs? Do you look for shows, series? What do you like?
I usually like the movies. I mean, not always the Netflix original movies, but, just they have a good selection of movies and stuff. Some of the shows are okay. I actually recently got into some of the documentaries, too. I watched the Hope Solo documentary that Netflix has, and that is a really, really good story. Hearing all the drama and rumors and everything that happened in that story is just, I remember it all happening at the time, and then there was nothing years after, and now there's all this the special about it. It's one of my favorite specials I've ever watched on sports. But they have a bunch of those on there. They have the Manti Te'o one. That one was really good too. But Netflix is kind of like, it's hit or miss for me because sometimes I feel like you see the same stuff all the time and I want like that freshness. And sometimes I just want like, I want to watch a Disney movie, right? And I just go to Disney. So it's up and down for me.
I could do a movie. If it's a good movie, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I actually like, though, short, like, miniseries, mini docs a lot of times.
Ooh.
Because
yeah, those are
if
good
you're
too.
Traveling especially,
mm-hmm.
you watch it on a plane flight, and then, okay, you know that it's short enough, an episode,
right.
I'll watch an episode later, right?
Yeah,
I can get to another episode later. I can divide it up without stopping in the middle of it, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Everything's kind of divided up.
Have you
At
ever
the same
seen...
time, it's not too long. I don't like 10 episodes.
Have you ever
I don't
seen,
like 10
Band
seasons.
Of Brothers? Band of Brothers, the HBO one?
Yeah, I mean, I have never watched Band of Brothers, but Band of Brothers is a series, though.
Kind of, yeah. It's a one-season series.
Oh, how many episodes?
It's a miniseries.
I didn't realize that.
It's 8 to 10,
okay,
I think.
That's a little too much for me.
Yeah.
But it's okay. If it's really good, I know it's great.
It is really good.
Okay, so a couple things I started watching lately. One goes completely against it, but I finally started watching Cobra Kai, and it's amazing. Cobra Kai is amazing. It's super cheesy, but it's great. I say cheesy because if you watched Karate Kid, you have to kind of watch Karate Kid. And, you know, you'll know a little bit more about it. I got Max into watching Cobra Kai with me now. It's a little adult at times. Like, I got to be careful there. But I got to kind of go back. He's actually watched Karate Kid, the movie. I like that. But that's a little different. That's now seasons long, and now I'm invested. But every episode's only a half hour. On this trip, though, I'm like, I need something good on Netflix. I went, and I saw something pop up. I'm like, this looks a little cool. Because it's two episodes. It's called, ready? The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist.
Ooh. Oh, wait. I've seen some of
Belle Gibson. Have you heard about this girl?
I haven't seen this one, but Netflix has a lot of these where it's like a 2 to 3 episode thing.
Yes.
And it's about, like, my girlfriend just watched one about Gabby Petito, the girl that
That's up now. And by the way, Gabby Petito, the girl who was murdered, she lived right in the town near where we used to live in Florida. So that area I'm very familiar with. And then when he was found was not too far away and all of that. Yes, that's the same thing. Something like this. This one's 2 episodes. I think that's 3. This is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. This is about a girl named Belle Gibson. And Belle Gibson was, I learned this story watching this. It was just amazing to me and crazy. She went on social media and Instagram and basically told people she had a brain tumor, a terminal brain tumor, and that she was using natural foods to stay healthy instead of traditional medicine. And she was like the most healthiest person ever. And look at this, what I'm doing. And the foods were actually, she was a good cook and she knew recipes and she'd have different recipes coming out. And she gained millions of followers for, oh my God, how is this person doing this? It's amazing. I need to start eating healthier. I need to follow what she's doing. But people who had cancer were like, oh, I'm going to do this instead and put my faith into something like that. It was all a lie. She didn't have brain cancer at all. And she conned all these people, and then she sold a cookbook and made millions of dollars.
Wow.
And did charity functions. The money never went to the charities. It's a crazy story. This is in Australia, and it wasn't too long ago. So anyway, this is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. And it's about Belle Gibson. It's a 2-part series. So as I'm watching this, of course, you know how they have the thing. Because you watch this, you might like this, right? The other one that came up was called Puppet Master.
Some of the names are really
title,
good.
Right? The Puppet Master is very similar on Netflix. Now, this one is three-part series. And this is about a guy who in England was a con artist. It goes back to the 90s where he convinced this other guy at this school he was in England that he was an MI5 agent. And this was during the height of the Irish Republican Army and war that was basically going on and terrorist attacks. And they said, the IRA is after you and the people in your house, and you have to leave and you have to get out. And he kind of convinced them to go and leave, this guy and these two girls. And along the way, he kind of started controlling their entire lives because he told them they were in such danger. And then he started having them get money from their parents, draining their own bank accounts, and they stayed on the run. And for one, he lasted 10 years with this person on the run and going. And in another instance, he literally befriended a woman and got this woman eventually to cut off only even with her own kids, which the documentary starts with their kids, her kids, these two kids saying, we miss our mom. We haven't seen her in 10 years. And she basically cut off because she went with this con artist. And we know, and she even knows who he is. And it's incredible. And this guy's name was, Danny, hold on. Puppet Master Netflix. I got to remember who the thing was about. British docuseries. And I can't remember the exact name of the guy now that I watched the darn things. I want to say his name. It's like a hyphenated name. And he went by a bunch of different kinds of names. But either way, go watch it. If you have any time, go watch. This one says, in this harrowing docuseries, a cruel con man masquerading as a British spy manipulates and steals from his victims, leaving ruined families in his wake. And again, it sounds depressing and terrible. I know. And my wife says to me, I watch murder mysteries. Sorry. I like murder mysteries like Dateline and 48 Hours. My wife always says, why do you watch stuff like that? And you know what? You know why I watch things like that? I figured it out. I think I'm a good person in life. And I think I try to treat people well. And I want to know what makes people evil like that. Like that kind of evil, right? And I don't mean like truly evil. Like these people are evil. They do bad things. Like what? Why do people get like that? What makes people like that? I think I want to gain insight into that because I don't know. I mean, I can be a trusting person. I see the good in everybody. Like when you see that, like what makes people like that? That's what interests me in genres like that. But I do like these little short series. I've watched a few over the years of missing people and murders in Manhattan and, you know, crime series and documentaries. So there's a couple for you. One is called The Puppet Master. One is called The Search for Instagram's Worst Con Artist. Check them out on Netflix if you can. I'm sure you have a few more. And you can tweet me at Sal Sports if you have any cool recommendations for something like that. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Isaiah Bond says he's going to break Xavier Worthy's record. He's a wide receiver also at Texas, by the way. Imagine all that speed they had, right? Plus, who was the other guy? Who's the Colts guy they drafted last year from Texas? The receiver? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm drawing a blank. Come on. You're supposed to help me here, pal.
I'm drawing a blank, too. He picked his number because of how many teams passed on him.
Yes, here we go. You had Neighbors. Then you had Roma Dunze. Then you had... everybody's going to say, Sal, come on. How can you not remember? Hey, it's been a long week. Just came back from vacation, all right?
I can picture him,
Xavier
too.
Xavier Ladd, Adonai Mitchell.
Oh, Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell, that's right. Adonai Mitchell, sorry. So now we have another one, Isaiah Bond, who says he says, I'm going to break the record. He literally just declared, he called his shot. We'll see if that happens.
Does it tank his draft stock if he doesn't?
No.
No?
Nope. I looked. Mel Kiper has him as the 10th wide receiver on his big board. Xavier Worthy was considered top five by most as a pick. He's 10th. We have, let's see, other ones here who are, oh, by the way, thank you very much for these suggestions. Peter tweets in at Sal Sports, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Peter tweets in, Dancing for the Devil, the 7 million TikTok cult, the 7M, I think it means million, 7M TikTok cult is riveting. Only three parts. I love that. That's cool. Hey, Sal. Josh says, have to check out this amazing show called Severance on Apple Plus. I've heard that, and I've heard it's very good. I think Pat Moran said The Pit or something is really good as well. There's some really good ones. So yeah, I'll be doing some more traveling coming up because we have NFL owners meetings, and I'll be going back to Florida a little bit for a few days in April. So it's that time of year where that happens, so I always need these things to kind of get me going and have some nice things to watch. Cobra Kai is going to be, it's too many seasons, but I got to keep going now. I'm in season three. It's like six seasons or something like that. So I'll be watching that as well. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to. But guess what? You'll have to do that on Monday. I'll be back on Monday. And we'll talk a little bit more about what we see this weekend from the NFL and the Combine and some of these guys working out. At least we're not in the quarterback market to watch Bills and pay attention to what's going on there. That happens this weekend. We'll have running backs are interesting. Whatever you think about the James Cook situation. I wonder, too, if we'll get any more extensions for the Bills. Khalil Shakir is done. Brandon Bean said last week, you can't talk to everybody at once, but you kind of get a feel for what guys are, their agents are thinking, and then you kind of pare it down and you work on, and then that's when Khalil Shakir started to kind of trend in the right direction. As he says. Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're going to be back on Monday with a lot more here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll pay attention to the Combine. Of course, the Sabres, they're back in action tomorrow, home and home against the Canadians, Saturday and Monday. And that's all, of course, here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks a lot to Josh, Derek, and Zach for hosting, filling in all week. You'll hear from them again next week, but I'll be back on Monday here at 10 a.m.